Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It is the season of giving, and as you can see, I'm sacrificing some self-respect and wearing these lights.
This looks like your tie's aglow.
I'm not sure if the Magi wore these on that wonderful night. Probably not, but I think they probably wouldn't have even if they could have. But anyway, this is kind of festive. Thank you very much, Marie. Appreciate it. Okay. I heard, I've been watching things on television, and we've talked about this every Sunday, and the state of our nation is always on my mind, and I believe it should be on everybody's mind. And just because we're not having a meeting for prayer this Tuesday, I hope everyone is still praying. Not just Tuesday, every day for this nation and, of course, leadership. And I heard this one scripture kind of ring in my brain all week. I heard it from this one pastor, and everybody's heard this scripture. I've heard it many times. 2 Corinthians, let's see, chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, amen, not by sight. Amen. If you walk by sight, especially the last year we've had, without faith, without the Lord, I wonder how people are getting along these days. I'd be pulling my hair out. I'd be very concerned with the future. But no matter what, we know that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you are secure in Him.
Amen.
You should feel secure in Him. If you look at the world and the events going on in the world, you'd be pulling your hair out and just... You'd have to be acting like some of these people here in Revelation, where you'd walk up to a mountain or hillside and say, please fall on me. Fall on me and take me out. But even when that occurs, that doesn't happen. They still cannot die by their own hand.
Amen.
But it's very, I have mentioned this before, but it seems like nature even is revolting and upset on the earth. We've talked about...
Groaning.
Yeah, the earth is groaning. And I heard one pastor say it's because of the weight of evil and sin on the earth. And you know what? I believe that. I have looked, and we've talked about it, we've watched a flooding on the earth. You don't hear about it too much on the news. Of course, I have not watched the news since November 4th. Only different things on YouTube and Christian TV. But I just seen yesterday, massive flooding in Spain. It's been happening, you know, tremendous snowfall a while back in northern Italy, flooding in southern Italy, flooding, bad flooding in Brazil. Let's see, there's a few other countries in Central America. And anyway, it's like every day there's someone added to it, you know, some country added to it, some calamity. And I don't know what the deal is with all the floods, but anyway, if you look at that, your heart would start growing faint. But we walk by faith, not by sight. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and know that He is with you. He's in front of you, each side and behind you. He is taking care of you. And, you know, in the early onset of this COVID thing, back, I don't know, back in what, late spring?
Yeah, March.
March.
Yep, I started, every day, I was pretty faithful, reciting Psalms 91, covering everybody I know, including everybody I know. That song, that prayer.
Hallelujah.
And I kind of slacked off a while back. I don't know why. I just I thought, well, I'm praying about this, praying about that, you know, and I kind of slacked off on it. But I'm taking it up again. I have been, I'm including that.
Amen.
You know, not as an extra prayer, but as a necessary prayer. You know, I'll plead that over our family, our church family. Everybody I know, friends, we need to be in the shelter of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
So, walk by faith. Walk by faith in Jesus, not by what you see in the world.
Amen.
Yes, it's upsetting and things, but I have seen so many prophecies and watching prophets. I am excited, actually. I'm not downcast. I'm excited.
Hallelujah.
Lord is going to do on the earth.
Amen.
I tell you, I firmly believe, number one on his heart is mercy and a harvest of souls. In the United States, yes, but around the earth. Some of these words I've heard coming out of these men and women of God is like, only God can say these words. You know, who would say, justice and righteousness shall kiss. You stop and think, well, what does that mean? Where did that come from? Justice and righteousness shall come together, and that's referring to something over the United States. So we shall have to see. I say, pray and agree with the Lord's agenda and his plan for this country.
Amen.
Pray and agree. I do believe there's going to be some shocking things coming up in the next month, maybe 2 months. But if the Lord is at the forefront and we're following his game plan, I'm all for it. I don't care what happens.
Amen.
In the streets or in the halls of Congress, if the Lord's in calling the shots, if he's involved, if he's engaged in this, thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for being,
Amen.
Being at the forefront. He is truly the Lord of heaven's
Amen.
Armies. So, you know, I didn't want to get into, well, I did, in a way. It's very important. I did. It's very important. But I heard one gentleman say, this Christmas is not going to be so much celebrating, but we will celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to celebrate also
the Lion of
the tribe of Judah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
All over the United States and in all the affairs of all countries, the affairs of men. And I am so thankful. I heard that word a couple of times from different prophets. And the word is engaged. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, you kind of put God over here and say, God, are you listening? Are you reacting? Are you? But I've heard that word of the Lord. He is engaged.
Amen.
And Troy, I am so thankful. If he's engaged in a thing, in a matter, you can assure it's righteous, it's just, and it's exciting to, I'm excited to see it come about, whatever it may be, however it may be.
Amen.
And I think people will know that it is him. No man, no group, it's him moving in this country and on the face of the earth. So, Father God, we come before you today, Lord God, and yes, we are celebrating the physical birth on earth of your Son and our Lord Jesus. And what a day it was back then. And I look back and you say, I say, what a humble birth. The treasure of heaven, the king of the universe, comes on earth and is born in a stable. And it couldn't be any more humble. And so I guess that's a lesson, humility. He came low, but he came from high to low and back to his heavenly position when he returned into heaven at the Father's right hand. But we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us, for your salvation that you brought to the earth, not just the Jewish people, but to all the earth. Thank you, mighty God, for including us Gentiles in your salvation plan. Because it says salvation comes of the Jews, but thank God it spread and covered the earth, covered us Gentiles. So we are one now in Jesus, one new man, and that's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to know Amen. That the Lord Jesus came for every race, every ethnic group, every color on earth. Every one of us, he came to save us. We are thankful. We celebrate that awesome birth of Jesus and the purpose of his birth, salvation of the world. So Jesus, we thank you. Father God, thank you for being so merciful, so generous with your Son. And we thank you, Father. Amen. We thank you for the things you've done and the mighty things you're going to do in the earth and this nation. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Karen, where are you? I just can't find you.
Hey, right here.
What do you mean you're right here?
I'm right here. Flashlight. Where are you?
I'm right here. I got my flashlight. I'm just Woo! Trying to find you. Woo! Like, what's taking you so long?
Wow, is that a bright light?
Oh, my Woo! Gosh. You know, what do you always have to be worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord?
I was. And
you know, the baby Jesus, he's supposed to be bringing his joy, isn't Woo! That right? But you know what, I got good news too. Santa Claus is coming.
Yes?
Yeah, he's coming. And I've been looking all over for these glasses right here because I want to be sure that all the reindeer out there, they can find me and Santa Claus.
Really?
Yes, because I think that Santa Claus is the reason for this season.
You do?
Yes, I do. And I really feel that Santa Claus is looking for me. Not you, but he's looking for me because I have a long list of things that I want from Santa Claus. I want Xbox. I want some new makeup. I want all...
Hold on, Marie. Hold on. I just want you to know that Santa Claus will get you gifts, but there's a better gift.
Oh, okay.
A big gift. And what are you doing?
I'm listening.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Be a good friend and listen.
All right.
There is a special gift that came down for us, and his name is Jesus.
Does he light up? Does he light up everything?
He's a joy of the whole world.
Oh, he is. Yes. Well, you know, Santa Claus, his whole sled's all lit up. And Rudolph's got that red nose and it just keeps on going, you know. And so I just really thought that Santa Claus was the one who lit up the world at Christmas time.
I have to tell you, there's someone bigger and greater.
Oh, wow. That's just really amazing to me. So you're just saying to me that Jesus is the true gift. He's the true light.
He is the true gift. That's right. Jesus
oh
is the reason
gosh.
For the season.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I guess he brings joy, but yes. Santa Claus still brings joy, too.
Yes.
Because I like chocolates, and Santa Claus brings me chocolates. And I don't have to share those chocolates.
You're not going to share them with me?
No.
You're my best friend.
Well, I like chocolates. I want to eat them all myself. It's me. It's all about me.
It is.
It's everything I want. Even Joe, you know what? He does all, he did some decorating in the church. He did all
Wonderful.
These little
beautiful.
Things.
Joe
and,
did a fantastic
and you know
job,
what?
Yeah.
My daughter told me that her dad's supposed to get coal.
Coal.
Yeah. Coal. Those are for people who are bad. But you know, that really came for me. But
you are naughty.
I took him and hid him in Joe's stockings.
You're naughty.
I know.
Very naughty.
I know. But you're not supposed to say that too loud because Santa will hear it. And I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting for him. Because you know there really was a Saint Nicholas.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. And he brought gifts and he did kind things even to poor kids that didn't have anything. So really that's kind of like where it came from. But I guess you're right. I guess Jesus is the real reason for this season. But you don't even hear it. You know, it's like you don't hear people talk about it.
You're talking about a temporary light. Jesus, he's the true light of the whole world. Jesus is the light of the world.
And we're supposed to have this joy when we think about him, don't we?
Yeah.
It's kind of been the whole theme here at Hilltop is joy, joy, dancing. And I see you doing that all the time, you know. And, you know, even that big bright star that took those shepherds, you know, those shepherds, you know, they stink. They need a bath. They were out with the sheep. They stunk. But the angel still appeared to them first.
Yes.
And told them about this big old star, and there was supposed to be a baby born, and it's supposed to be Emmanuel, Jesus, and everything.
Yes,
and
he
so
is
those,
Emmanuel.
Well, those sheep were used for sacrifices unto God. But I find it quite amazing that, truthfully, that, you know, that they would be important. Because they stunk so bad. So why did they have to be the first people in the stable? Now you think it could have been someone like me to see Jesus because I got it all together.
Oh, I see.
You see, but Jesus was born in a humble cave or stable, and the shepherds came and praised him.
Yes, you know why?
No.
No. Jesus came for everybody.
He did?
Yes, for everybody.
That baby came, that little baby
that
right
little
there.
That little baby came for everybody. Even the ones that are forgotten, the ones that nobody thinks is important, like they feel invisible. He came for them too.
Well, he sure came for those stinky shepherds.
That's why they were.
Think
about it. Shepherds are out in the field. They're all by themselves.
Yeah, they couldn't even come to the temple.
No.
And praise the Lord. They were out in the field with all those stinky sheep.
But you see, Jesus cared enough and loved him enough to come down and be that little baby and bring him salvation.
Oh, I see.
He is the bright and morning star.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes,
And isn't there something that you seem to want to read to me on that piece of paper
right
there?
Yes, but I wanted to tell you something even more important.
I'm still waiting for Santa, so don't get, you know, kind of just don't take too much time.
I won't, but when that star came up, it was called the Star of Bethlehem.
Oh, that's
right. You know, so the wise men, they followed it, you know, and they came to Jesus to worship Jesus.
Yeah, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there were more than three kings. There were quite a few kings, but we just talk about the three because of the three gifts.
Yes.
But there were many. So that's very, very true.
Yes. Do you want to know a special gift that Jesus is bringing to you?
What?
Not Santa.
No.
On December 21st, there's going to be two planets that are going to merge together.
Oh.
And it's going to form the Star of Bethlehem, the Star of David.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So we might be able to watch it if we have a clear sky here in Benson County. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Santa,
That works.
Okay.
You just have to turn it on.
Okay.
Come on.
Hey, it's early in that morning. Santa, he lives in the North Pole, right?
Yeah, of course. It's
of
what
course
I'm waiting for. You know, I'm trying to draw my attention to him.
No. Jesus, my Jesus, and your Jesus, and everybody's Jesus.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Oh.
He is everywhere. Now, Santa, he rides in a sleigh, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus, he rides on the wind, and he walks on the water. The water. Can you imagine walking on the water?
I do like to be in the
water. I love the water.
Yeah,
I like
it.
The waves and the sand.
Walking
it's so beautiful. The sun comes down and just glistens like that. out there when Jesus walks in. Now, here's something else to think about. Your Santa comes only once a year.
It's true, and I can't wait for
once
my child.
Once a year. And, but Jesus, he is the ever-present help in time of trouble. He is there every single day, every single minute, and every single second.
Yeah, you're right. I only wrote Santa once and told him about all the bad people and just told him how good I was. Just once. That's all it took was once.
Okay, Santa does fill your stockings with goodies.
He does.
Jesus, he supplies all of your needs.
Oh.
Every day.
That's good.
Every day.
I need it.
And then Santa, he comes down your chimney, uninvited, excuse me.
Yeah, our wood burner stove, I guess that's what you call it. Yeah, he comes down that.
Yes. But Jesus, he stands at the door and knocks. Jesus. Knocks at the door. And then he enters your heart.
Yeah.
And he fills you with such joy, joy, joy. Jesus only can do that.
Yeah, I know.
And then you have to stand in line to, you know, to sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah, now you can't even do that. Now you got to wear a mask.
Yes, I don't want to wait in long lines with my hot mask on my face just to see Santa. No.
Yeah. Because he's already got your letter, so what you got to go see him for? Right?
Sometimes, yeah, I see what you're saying. But you know what? Jesus is as close to you as possible. He wants you anytime to go into that throne room. And he's sitting there waiting for you to crawl up on his little lap.
Yeah.
Or his big lap. But his lap in general. And he wraps his arms around you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he loves on you. And then he asks you what your wishes are.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he listens. Yep. And then, Santa doesn't know your name, right?
No, not only if I send my letter. And then I print it. And I write it in case he can't read cursive, he can read the printing.
See, Santa says, all right, you know, hi, little boy, hi, little girl. But you know what's amazing about Jesus?
What?
He knows your name. And he knows every hair on your smart little head you have.
Thank you. I am smart.
Yep. Jesus has a belly full of jelly. And he goes, oh. But you know what?
What?
Jesus has a heart full of love.
Yeah,
love.
It lasts longer.
Yes, it does. Yep, it does. And not only does he offer love, but he offers hope, health, and he just knows how to take care of you. And he loves you so much that when the joy comes in, it just fills you up.
Yeah.
And then you get so filled up, it just got to come out. Joy! Joy! Joy!
Yeah, I like that.
Yes,
I saw you dancing earlier. That was good. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, he knows your address too. Jesus knows your address. He knows your history. He knows your future. He knows your past. And if you have a bad past, he don't care.
No.
He will take you like those stinky shepherds you were talking
about.
And he'll say, come. And all you have to do is tell him that, you know, you're a sinner and you ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you.
Wow, that's
awesome.
And
then he washes you so clean, you're as white as that snow out there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Jesus, you just have to ask him into your heart. That's all that's important.
That's right. Now, Santa says you better not cry.
Yeah.
Are you crying?
Absolutely not.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yep.
Because even if you do have to get sad and you cry, Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me, for he cares for you.
You don't think that Santa Claus would care about me and I could ride around in his sleigh and stuff like that?
I think Jesus could care about you a lot more. You know why?
Why?
He created you.
Oh.
He designed every nook and cranny
of you. I got it.
Yes. And he's very unique. Yep. And Jesus makes new life, he mends wounded hearts, he repairs broken homes, and he builds mansions, and I'm looking for mine. I've asked Jesus for, let's see, I want to have lawn furniture, I want to have a great big wraparound couch, and I want a garden.
Garden?
I want a garden.
That sounds like Joey's going to have lots of gardens.
I want to put roses and dahlias and zillias and, oh, I could go on forever, all the things I want to have.
So he provides all that.
Yep. Now, Santa, he has little helpers to make toys.
Yep, the elves and the reindeer sometimes help too.
And Santa can make you chuckle, but Jesus, he gives you joy, joy that is your strength.
Oh, yeah.
And time of need when you're sad.
Yeah, that's what it says in the Word.
Yes, joy just strengthens you, and joy just helps you.
So when we go through all the storms and all the stuff and all that stuff, he really is right there for us.
Yeah, he gives you hope.
Mm-hmm. Hope, yep. That's nice.
Yep, and you know what? Sometimes it only takes a smile to make someone else happy.
Yeah,
so Jesus created us to smile.
You think Joe's going to smile when he sees all that coal and their stocking there? You think I should get it out?
Well, I think you should get it out. So you're going to make him stay mad.
Yeah,
This is Christmas.
Yeah.
You don't want to make him sad.
No, I don't want to make him sad. He's a good guy.
He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should give him a hand.
You know, what about me?
Well, a piece of gum? No, I'm kidding.
No, it's chocolates.
Okay, I'll give you a big box of chocolates. How
right.
That? Okay.
Right.
Now, when Santa comes, he puts your gifts under the tree.
Yep.
But when Jesus came as a little baby right there,
yep,
he came to give you a special gift.
What's that?
Well, he died on the cross and took all the sins and the weight of the world on his shoulders at the cross. And that means that every sin you did in the past, or doing now, or in the future, is all under his precious blood that he shed on that cross.
Wow, thank you, Jesus.
And he went and took the keys from Satan.
Yeah.
And we have resurrected bodies coming.
Yeah, that's right.
He resurrected from the dead. So we now have a resurrected body and live in him.
Okay.
Amen to that, right?
Amen.
Jesus became our gift and died on the tree. It is obvious that there is really no comparison. We need to remember who Christmas is and who Christmas is about.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to think about Christmas.
Yeah.
I've seen Xmas. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
No.
It means that not Christ right. Right in
the
garbage
can. That's not right.
No. It's sad.
Yeah.
Jesus, he is the Christ. And so that's why it's called Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas.
We need to remember
Christmas.
It's all about Jesus.
Got it.
We need to put Christ back into Christmas.
Amen.
Jesus is still the reason for the season.
Amen.
Sorry, Santa doesn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. May the Lord bless you
and
watch over you and all of your loved ones this Christmas.
Yeah, amen. Because Jesus is our joy.
He's our joy and our reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
And see, when this is time to, remember his birthday.
Yeah, it's his birthday today.
It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
But you know what's the greatest gift?
What?
Is the fact that we have salvation.
Yeah.
And it's a free gift.
Amen. Can't earn it.
No,
Santa,
you
got
to
earn it.
That means we get to go up to heaven. And you get all those goodies you asked for Santa for.
Yeah.
They're up there.
Wow.
All waiting for you.
So truthfully, even Santa has to bow down to Jesus just like us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I like that message.
And you know what? Jesus even loves Santa.
Yeah.
Even though he comes once a year.
Yeah.
And all of the stinky reindeer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't stink as bad as the sheep stink. Well.
Maybe I'll get you a sheep.
Oh, dear God. So it's really glory to God in the highest, isn't
glory
it?
Glory to God in the highest, yeah.
Peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
So we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. We send blessings to our loved ones, Hadley and Daxton and Jaden and Aria and Zoe.
Owen and Merry and all
Christmas.
The kids.
Merry Christmas.
Love you, Nicole.
Yeah. May you prosper and be blessed. The work in your hands for this new year.
Yes.
And may God bless all and every person that's on this earth. May you do find the true gift, which is salvation that Jesus did for you.
Amen.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Joy to the world.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
If you guys would stand for the Word of God today, we're going to go to Luke. Luke 2. 1 through 17. And it came to pass.
Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out all from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Corvinus was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, that the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there was the same country shepherds living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them.
Hallelujah.
And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be all to the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards all men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had all seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all of those who had heard it marveled at all the things that were told to them by these shepherds.
Amen.
But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them into her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Tom. You know, Luke is really my favorite as far as reading about things because, you know, Luke was a physician. He was the one that was kind of analytical. He was the one who I really believe saw things from a different perspective. And I decided from the Lord that I was going to talk about the innkeeper. I talked about the shepherds. But I want to talk about the innkeeper. I want to talk about Bethlehem. Now, it wasn't much of a place. It was actually quite rocky. It was just an area where people had to come if you were the lineage of David, and you had to do the census there. And David went, or excuse me, Joseph went, because his father before him and his grandfather and so on, they had to keep on going back to the same place. But, you know, there weren't many places like Bethlehem. And truthfully, if you were to go to Israel today, what I'm amazed at is that it's like a fence around it, and you can't even get close to where they think that cave was at. But it wasn't much a town compared to what Luke said, but it was the home of King David. In fact, this very inn was built on the land that belonged to the family of David. And some said that it was the exact spot of the house where actually King David was born. That made the town very special, but not big. Special, but not big. He thought about that on this day of all days. People were streaming to Bethlehem, and they were streaming from all different directions. And truthfully, Joseph, he had never seen so many in that town. It was packed. It was jammed. And my goodness, where did they all come from? Well, I guess business was good, almost too good, in Bethlehem. All the thatched rooms were taken. There weren't any rooms. That's what the Word of God says in Luke 2. People were even camping outside in the courtyard, and the sight and the sounds and the smells of people and animals were milling about, almost drowning out the sight and the sound of the coins that were now tucked away in a safe place. As Joseph moved around the crowd, he watched and he listened. I believe maybe there was a little nervousness of him because Mary was really almost there, almost ready to deliver. Now, most of us women understand that. Either we get this boost of energy, or we're kind of like, when the baby's getting ready to come, it's kind of painful. But it seems after you have the baby, you forget about the pain and all that you went through. But Mary didn't say anything at all. In fact, as people kind of came into Bethlehem, I believe there was a great deal of anger. There was hostility. There were travelers that were weary, that wanted a place, and wanted a place now. The orders from Rome were being bitterly opposed, but grudgingly obeyed. The census was Caesar's way of keeping the Roman boots on the neck of the Jews. It was a controlling spirit. And no one liked it. No one liked to be controlled. But what could they do? So they came. It was very inconvenient. It was, many of the proud people just couldn't believe that they had to go to Bethlehem. They couldn't believe, and some of them actually hated the Romans. Those born to the house of David had to report to the home of David, to this little town whose name meant house of bread. House of bread. Jesus, when we even take the communion, he is our bread of life. How symbolic is that? Well, though the innkeeper to himself, if any more showed up, my gosh, there was just no food, there was no place, there was nothing. And truthfully, the mood of those travelers had begun to change. They weren't real nice about things. But some of them had a festive attitude. Wow,
thank gosh for the people that had joy. He breathed a sign of relief as it turned towards the gate of the inn. There were still more seeking, trying to get in all the time, but only a few more, and then he would have to be, well, he would just have to turn away the innkeeper. There was little room now, and some were even beginning to complain, and night was falling, and you didn't know what was in the night. He glanced to the distant hills. The glow of the cooking fires meant that the shepherds of the temple flocks were settling down for an evening. He laughed to himself about the irony of the whole thing. Those dirty, profane shepherds, tending animals that were destined to be used for sacrifices in the holy place in the temple. What a contrast. Lowly shepherds on blemished lambs. Those shepherds wouldn't even be allowed to enter the temple grounds to see their perfect animals. Some of them loved those animals in the ritual that took place. They weren't good enough, but isn't that amazing? The animals were good enough. Oh, well. Who said life was fair anyways? He turned again to the gate, and there just seemed to be travelers after travelers. And he had already sent some away. Excuse me. His inn was simply too crowded to accept any more people to lodge there. Opening the gate, he saw the two of them standing over there. Out of all the crazy that was going on, the innkeeper noticed two of them standing there in the gate. They were really, truly sagging against the donkey, and Joseph tried to tie the donkey to the post. Oh, man, women, beasts, everybody was utterly exhausted. I really hated to send all these people away. But look at her. Look at that woman. Her stomach was actually swelling. She couldn't hide it no more in the rope. It was obvious that she was a very pregnant woman. Well, I stepped outside the gate, and I was holding my lantern kind of high. And I was very concerned as I looked at the young man, as he kept on glancing back to the woman by his side. Oh my gosh, she was so young. 12, 13, she was just young. "Please, sir," said Joseph, "we've traveled a long ways. Could you provide lodging for us tonight?" The others he had turned away in the last hour or so had needed lodging too, but somehow that innkeeper knew that these two were so different. It was more than the fact that the young woman was near her time. It just seemed like there was something different about them. Truthfully, on the young man's face, there seemed to be fear. There seemed to be panic. And his eyes met my eyes. The man spoke again, "Sir, I've got to find shelter for my wife. Quickly, quickly." Glancing over my shoulder, could I just find a little corner for them? Or somewhere? Someplace that they could go? Oh my gosh, I just didn't know. "I'm so sorry," he said to Joseph. "I'm so sorry. There's no room in the inn." It was as if he had struck the man with a blow. Almost staggering, the man moved back to the woman tenderly.
and he put his arms around her. But he knew who this child is to be. "There's no room," Joseph said. And she just nodded. Then she spoke up, and Mary said that her eyes met the innkeeper just a moment. And he was startled by what he saw. Mary had no fear. She wasn't scared. She wasn't panicking with Joseph. She was in complete peace. "Well, wait a minute, wait a minute," the innkeeper said. There might be a place. It's not much of a place. But come on with me." And he lifted up his lantern and he led the way around the side of the inn to like an enclosure. Some might have said it was a barn. Some might have said it was a cave. But pausing back at the fence, he turned to the couple. "You rest here for a while. And I won't be long. Just wait a few minutes." And he went and he got some clean hay and he fixed it all up inside the best that he could. "Oh, let me help you," said Joseph. "No. No, just stay with her. Just stay with her. I'll be back soon." And the innkeeper moved quickly and urgently, and there was an excitement. "My gosh, she should give birth any time, any minute. I've just got to hurry." There was just something inside of him that made him find this clean straw or hay or just to fix up the area a little bit. He made his way to the entrance of the cave. Someone, perhaps David and his brothers, had long ago carved and cleaned out in this cave an area where animals drank from. And they put, it was kind of crude, but it was there. And it was dirty. But most of the stalls were occupied tonight. There was one right over there, a little fresh hay over here, a little bit of clean water. It wouldn't be much, but it would work. But at least there was room. Hurrying outside, he made his way to the waiting pair. "Let me show you the place. Let me show you the place. Let me show you the place. There's a place around here." And the man helped her to her feet, and they made their way carefully to this cave. Stepping inside, Mary, the woman, placed her hand on the innkeeper's arm. "This will be fine. This will be okay." There were actually tears that came about in his eyes. "I have to check back to the inn now, but I'll be back to check on you too." And he stepped out quickly, and he didn't want her to see how he was crying. Just one touch, one gentle, nice comment set him free. "I've got to go back to business. There's a lot of people in my inn. I better pay, close attention, especially to my paying customers." "Paying? I didn't discuss a fee with you two." His mind raced. Why was he so bothered by this whole thing? Why was this kind deed of a woman and a man in need? He had helped a woman who needed a place to give birth to the Christ child. What's another baby in this world anyways? Are they that important? "Why is this getting to me?" the innkeeper thought. "Why am I just being a crybaby?" He lost himself in the business of running and the overcrowded and
and all that stuff, and truthfully, the night dragged on. And he provided some supplies. He got him water and more water. And before you knew it, there were animals that were all around. Joseph was exhausted. But he kept seeing their faces, that innkeeper. He kept on seeing how calm that woman was, anxious for absolutely nothing. He said, I'll get up in a few minutes, and I'll see what they're up to. How's everything going? And I fell asleep as the innkeeper. I was tired myself. Now, fully awake, I woke up again, and I went over to the couple in the cave. Could something have happened? Could a baby truthfully have been born? Immediately, I recognized this sound. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. And the shepherds, those stinky shepherds, were all around in this cave. And they were glorifying baby Jesus, the baby that was born. I said to him, what do you want, you thieves? They were thieves. I kind of had this grin on my face because it was so peaceful in there. The shepherd said, come on, Mr. Innkeeper. You got to see the baby. You got to see this beautiful baby. So the innkeeper grabbed the arm of one of those shepherds. And they were all together in there, worshiping the king. I'm telling you right now, says the shepherd, you never saw a baby like this one. Shepherd would not deny it. Come on, innkeeper. Just listen. And angels filled the whole area. It was just lit up. I'm sure that innkeeper never experienced that. And Mary said, please come in. Come on in. Come on in, Mr. Innkeeper, and see beautiful baby Jesus. And the innkeeper still saw more of the shepherds standing by, and he was really getting a little irritated. But you know what? Those shepherds were kneeling down, bowing to baby Jesus. Here were those stinky shepherds, bowing and exalting Jesus. I don't know about you, but that did something to the innkeeper. But you know what? If you looked at her eyes, the eyes of a new mother gazing down at that precious, precious baby, she was speaking so softly to him. Our people, the whole world, they've been waiting for you. Waiting for you, my son. The whole world is waiting. She looked up at the innkeeper and she said, thank you for making room for him. Turning and looking at the shepherds, their faces were like beaming with light because they had seen the light. The shepherds whispered loudly, it's what I've been trying to tell you, Mr. Innkeeper. The angel said, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So this is what I want to tell you. Jesus has come. We need to make room in our hearts for him. And he's coming back soon.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Very soon. And we're to be prepared. We're to be ready. We're to know that he is full of love and hope. And we have something. We have the answer to give to the world out there. And Jesus, when he comes back, it's like my husband said, he's coming soon. We will rapture, be raptured, we will go with him. But he is coming back as the judge, as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So get ready, be part of the army. We're to be praisers and worshipers and exalt him. For he brings the joy. He is the reason for the season. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we're going to watch a little video clip. It takes about 10 minutes. This is Camp Christmas.
Today is a little bit different. I know it's Christmas time, but yesterday morning, God began to speak to me prophetically, and I feel compelled to release this word today. I think it will be an encouragement to you. For some reason, God waits till the end of the year, generally, to begin to speak to me the word of the Lord. And I know that a lot of us are wondering what God's going to do in our nation. And so I think today God will give you some answers as I release what the Lord has to say. Let's bow our heads, Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful, Lord, for who you are. And now, Holy Ghost, I stand as the servant of the Lord today. May you speak, God, to the nations, to the church today, what you want to convey into their spirits. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of prophecy. We thank you, God, that you have not forgotten us today. But God, this is a season that we are truly going to celebrate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. The Lord says, what I am doing now, what you're seeing is not resurrection of something old. But God said, I am birthing something new in the earth that you have not seen. In my mercy, God says, I have been silent because I have been giving evil men time to repent. But just now, as evil has declared war on me and on the church, so do I declare war on you, says the Lord. I am sending my word forth into the earth, and it will not return unto me unfulfilled. But all that I have declared over the decades, saith the Lord, is going to come to pass in this hour, and it will come quickly. For you are in the third day, says God, and in this day is a day of resurrection of the glory and of the power of the Holy Ghost. My servants who are my prophets that have spoken my word to the nations have not prophesied in their own name. They have not spoken fables, but they have declared what thus saith the Lord in my name. Know this, says the Lord of hosts. I will not, says God, let evil men and so-called believers who are full of unbelief make me a liar. For I am not a man that I should repent, saith God. For I am still God, and when I send forth my word, it goes forth as a sword, saith the Lord, and it is going to pierce the very strongholds of the power of darkness. Just as I came to the earth the first time as God in flesh, so am I now coming to you and to this nation and across the earth in this Christmas season to give you a gift, says the Lord, that you will never forget. What you have been watching in the media is the spirit of that woman, Jezebel, trying to replace the woman called the church in the earth. But the voice of the church in this hour are my prophets, saith God, and they will not be silenced. And the word of the Lord that I have released in this hour, though it looks impossible, says God, it will come to pass. For all that I declare to you, says the Lord, will not come by the power of men. It will not come through politics or law or even the Supreme Court, says the Lord. But it will come forth by the power of the Holy Ghost in this hour. Just as Jezebel in the days of Elijah drove the prophets into caves, so she in 2020 drove my church into hiding. But just as I was only in the cave for 3 days, says the Lord, so is my church coming out of the cave and coming out of hiding. For the voice of righteousness will not be silenced, says the Lord. And you will not muzzle me, saith God. I will not sit down as a small child in a corner, says the Lord, and yield to a power that is not as great as I. For I am still God, saith the Lord. In the year 2021 of January, the angel Michael is sounding the ram's horn as a call to war against false religion and counterfeit churches in the earth. Every pastor in church that has crawled into bed with this spirit, saith God, I am now going to uncover and I'm going to judge, says the Lord. For there are many buildings that are built that have the word church on them and are cross, says God, but they do not honor my name. They are not about my presence, and they do not care for the poor and those who have been laden with sin. But in this day, saith God, I am raising up a church that is glorious without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Just as the devil has tried to put despair and intimidation on my people, I now release from my throne room, saith God, a holy garment of boldness on them, says the Lord. For there is a spirit of power and authority that is going to arise on you. And I put the spirit of fear and intimidation on those that have tried to shut up the house of the Lord. And as I have watched, hallelujah, saith God, the houses of the enemy become silent. There is now a sound of the line of Judah that's getting ready to come up out of the house of the Lord. You will no longer be known as a house that is heavy and in despair, but there is joy, saith God. For even as I came to the earth the first time and the angels shouted, there is joy in the earth, so am I coming to you in this Christmas season, saith the Lord. I have not forgotten what I have promised you, and though it looks impossible, and though the media says it will not happen, and though they already crowned one man a king, I say to you, he is a false king, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is yet to be raised up. For the throne room of the Lord will not be occupied by an imposter, says God, but it will be set upon by the glorious God of all eternity. Know this, saith God, have I not always told you that though I tarry long when you pray, that when I do come, I will show up quickly. What I'm getting ready to do in the next few weeks, saith God, will be a quick work. It will not be done in part. It will not leave a back door for an enemy to come through. But this time, saith God, I'm going to finish what I started. And for 4 years, the glory of the Lord shall descend upon the earth in a way that you have never seen it, saith the Lord. For I have waited to show myself in this time of destiny because I wanted the enemy to show himself first. Now that he is uncovered, you're going to see the anointing of Elijah being released in the earth, says the Lord, and harvest will begin. Just as I had to wait until Goliath's sword could be put in the hand of David before the enemy was destroyed. Just as I waited for Jordan to flood before Israel could cross Passover, just as I waited for Mordecai to be promoted until Haman's gallows were built. Know this, the enemy has built a gallows to hang the church, but I'm getting ready to reverse, saying, God, what has been declared in this nation, and I'm going to take the weapon that the enemy formed against the house of the Lord, and I'm going to cause the enemy to be destroyed by the very weapon that he forged in the fires of hell to destroy the people of God. In the next 4 years, I'm giving the nations to the church as their inheritance. Not just a few, not just a bit, not just those that are not under the Iron Curtain. I'm invading the Muslim nations. I'm invading the communist nations. I'm tearing down the Iron Curtain, says the Lord. I am also taking the wealth of the wicked, and I am transferring it to the saints of the Most High. I did not call you to be poor. I take pleasure in the prosperity of my servant. Land, titles, deeds, money, businesses, wealth, and inventions are now being released out of the heavens unto the saints of the Most High. For what I'm going to do will not be a cheap move, but it will be the riches of glory being displayed in the earth. For what I am going to accomplish, says God, what I am now going to do will be like an explosion of my power and my glory in the earth. I am going to cripple China for what they have done to the nations. Because they have tried to remove me from the earth, I'm also going to deal with their leaders, and there's going to be a release of the presence of God and revival in the nation of China. Just as hell released a global epidemic in the earth to advance the purpose of Satan, I am now releasing in every nation my presence and my glory to bring forth the kingdom of Jesus Christ. As you've seen a wave of death in the earth, now shall you see life and divine healing released in the earth. And the shout that's coming out of the people of God is going to tear down the ancient strongholds that have ruled the nations. So get ready, says God, not months from now, but you're on the precipice, says the Lord, of the greatest outpouring of the glory of God. And today, I lift up what you say, the Lord, the spirit of heaviness, and I release upon you the carpet of praise. Shout unto the Lord, say it, God. This is how mercy is being released upon my people, say it, God.